Hello and welcome. I'm Patrick Curtis, your host and chief monkey, and this is the Wall Street Oasis podcast. Join me as I talk to some of the community's most successful and inspirational members to gain valuable insight into different career paths and life in general. Let's get to it. In this episode, member Market Beater shares how he broke into Goldman and eventually a buy-side hedge fund role in Hong Kong with a 2.8 GPA. How much he's getting paid now, and a key piece of advice to our listeners to stay motivated. Enjoy. Market Beater, thank you so much for coming on the Wall Street Oasis podcast.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah, so it'd be great if you could just give the listeners a quick little summary of your background.
Yeah, sure. So I'm currently a research analyst in a Hong Kong-based, equities-focused, value-driven long bias hedge fund with $900 million US asset under management and 10-plus years of track record, yielding an average return of 14% during the 10-plus years. So it is also awarded by Asia Hedge as the best long-term performing hedge fund in the 500 million to 1 billion hedge fund category in one of the past 5 years. So I personally am a China equities generalist stationed in Hong Kong, covering X-Share, A-Shares, or any China-related US-listed ADRs. So I myself was graduated from Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, one of the three target local schools for investment banking in Hong Kong, mm-hmm. with a finance and marketing major. So prior to my current job, I work in an equities hedge fund as an intern in Goldman Sachs as a gap year China equity strategy analyst, engaging in China macro research and also quantitative trading strategy research. And another investment bank, highly reputable in equities research in Asia, covering small mid cap for 1.5 years and China oil and gas for another 1.5 years. So
yeah, all those were all of those internships before you kind of jumped into this hedge fund role, this analyst role?
No. Actually, only the first hedge fund work is an internship.
Got it. Okay. And so you graduated about 4 years ago. Is that correct? From undergrad, from the Target University?
Yes.
And so you've been working always in either the research, investing side, buy side, either on the sell side of doing equity research or now on the buy side doing hedge fund as a hedge fund analyst. Is that correct?
Yes.
So that's correct. Go ahead. So I was just going to ask you, how did you specifically position yourself for employers so that they knew that this is kind of what you wanted to do? Was there stuff you did specifically at your target university in Hong Kong?
I can actually share a little bit of my story.
Mm-hmm. So, that'd be great.
So in Hong Kong, we actually have 3-year university degree, and I start my internship or job hunting actually very late. I start my job or internship hunting only from the spring semester of my second year. So that means I'm left with only 1.5 year for my graduate job.
Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Why did you wait so long? Or why is that considered late?
Yeah, because I'm being honest, I'm a bit stupid. I put too much of my time in the so-called student society's work. So I basically didn't study to an extent that I actually, there was one semester that I only spent like 1 hour before the examination. So that's how horrible I was back then. But because I was interested in investment and in economy to an extent that I actually start reading and trading since 16 years old. So I was like, why not trying break into the industry? So I know I have a blank CV. So, and I have no internship basically, mm-hmm. with a very low GPA. So very luckily, I got a friend who is a Wall Street Oasis member, mm-hmm. and introduced me to the site. So I followed many of the posts on the website and the sharing from the members, and start cold calling and cold emailing.
Good for you. Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah. And actually, thanks.
No worries. How bad was your GPA? You said low. You said you only studied for 1 hour before an exam. Are you talking, I don't know what the scale is in Hong Kong, but I know it's 0 to 4. What is it, like under a 3.0 GPA for US-based equivalent?
Well, we also have a 4.0 GPA system.
Okay.
And my GPA when I first started job hunting is actually as low as 2.7.
Nice. I think you take the cake. 2.7 GPA. I love it. Okay. So you're you're cold calling. You're putting in the work to actually at least give yourself a chance at an internship. Did anybody ask you, like, well, what about your GPA? Or I assume you just didn't include it on your resume.
Well, I am actually honest when I'm doing cold email and cold calling.
Yeah.
I will always state that that is the major reason why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And in terms of resume, I can only put it like a second low honor. That's all I can put it on my resume because I basically cannot lie, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
But can you exclude the GPA, or you think that looks worse?
I think it looks worse. I think ultimately I have to be screened by the headhunter or by the HR guys, right? I cannot lie.
Okay. Yeah. So this explains a lot. So low GPA, you realize I have a blank CV. I need internships. You start calling, you start just trying to get any internship you can. And you land one. It looks like you had some success. So talk to me about that.
Sure. So actually technically speaking, my cold emailing or cold calling is not very successful because I didn't land any internship from that.
Okay.
Even though I cold email or cold call for like over 700 professionals in Hong Kong, all of them are from buy side or sell side. I did have interviews with them, but when I finally land an internship, I actually suddenly got my internship offer suddenly got canceled like 3 days before I signed my contract because the broker basically hired another related party's son to replace me as the intern.
Oh, so, no.
But luckily, right after that, I received an internship offer from a hedge fund. Mm-hmm. And during the interview, I think I outperformed the other peers because I read a lot since 16 years old. So and I also have my personal training track record, which is not bad. So
you have your personal training. You have your personal what?
Trading.
Stock trading. Yeah. So you had a lot to talk about because you've been trading since you were 16. So you showed a lot of passion. Yeah. Okay. So you outperformed once you were in the interview. It was just tough to land those interviews.
Yes. And great. It's also worth mentioning that it was just a 3 month semester internship, and I just voluntarily asked to work for free for 1 year instead of just 3 months on the day I signed the contracts. So they immediately adjust the contract and allow me to work 1 year there.
Great.
So after I have a 1 year experience, it somehow caught the attention of Goldman Sachs because I simply just applied through online application. So after 5 rounds of interview, I landed a job there.
Amazing.
And that's how I start my career.
Yeah. Not a bad place to start, you know, from low GPA to starting at Goldman Sachs. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So at Goldman, you had just graduated, or this was also an internship, or tell me about the position there and what you're doing for Goldman.
Well, it's a 1 year analyst program. I have to take deferral for it.
Yeah.
So during my time in Goldman, I am basically engaging in macro research and also quantitative trading strategy research.
Mm-hmm.
So to be more exactly, for example, I build model to forecast index for the next year. I build model to keep track on valuations by sectors in the China space. I also engage in a policy study in China.
Interesting.
And also research in China. Economy research in China. So yeah, that's basically what I did in Goldman.
Great. And then you knew you had to go back to school, that is, or you had to go, it was just a 1 year kind of position. So you knew you were going to have to look for another position.
Indeed, I received a return offer and I declined that. I declined the offer from the strategy team, and I also received another offer from single stock research.
So what do you think, you went from low GPA, struggling to get an interview, then suddenly you landed that one interview, or that one internship for about a year. And then all of a sudden, what made you so, what suddenly do you think made you so attractive? Is just having those internships on your resume, or did something change? Was it just the work you were doing was really interesting, so you had some really interesting kind of experience on your resume? What do you think that flip was? Because it sounds like you came from nothing, and then all of a sudden everyone wanted you. You're getting a return offer from Goldman. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to understand that a little bit better.
So I think some of the worth mentioning part include obviously the things that I've mentioned, the stock trading record.
Yep.
I actually put that on my resume. And second thing is I read a lot. So I actually have a favorite readings list on my resume as well. So and actually that helps a lot, because during the first round of my Goldman interview, the interviewer actually told me that I got picked because of the favorite reading list.
How many things do you include on the favorite reading list? How many?
Around 5 to 6 books, spanning across macro books, stock trading books, and also politics books.
Interesting. Interesting. So you're kind of showing up with geopolitical intellectual curiosity such that they think, oh, this person really gets it.
Yes. And interesting. I think my readings actually helped in the actual interviews as well. Because, for example, I got asked in the first round about the economies of 7 countries in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually can answer very forthrightly. And the interview actually, after I landed my job, he actually said that is the part that impressed them the most.
Right.
Yeah. So that I think the readings works as well.
For sure. Do you mind sharing some of those books? Maybe we can put it in the show notes after.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
I think one of the books that I would recommend is definitely Howard Marks' Most Important Things.
Mm-hmm. Great.
This is a book that talks about trading philosophies, and there's another book called written by the chief columnist in Financial Times, Martin Wolf, called Fixing the Global Finance. So that is actually a book that talks about the financial crisis, and also the importance of U.S. dollar among the global economy, which allows you to actually study all of the major economies in the world. And finally, I would also like to recommend all the books written by Alan Greenspan and also Ben Bernanke, because basically it's simple. They are the modern monetary policy designers.
Yep.
So what they said, what they read, what they wrote inside the books are basically what is really happening in the real world and the most practical knowledge they are. Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you for that. So yeah, so tell me, let's go back to your story. So you're getting offers to return to Goldman, but you're thinking, I'm going to probably jump. Why did you decide you didn't want to go work at the strat? I think you said the strategy team gave you an offer. Why did you decide, hey, I actually want to go do something else?
For the strategy role, I think I have started to realize that in terms of career, it's hard to have a board exit ops. So what I mean is that a typical career pathway for a strategy analyst is basically staying in sell side and one day jumping to the buy side, but only as a strategy analyst. So for buy side strategy analysts, they focus on portfolio allocation.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can imagine, they should be only available in long-only funds.
Long-only funds.
It's actually a kind of narrow exit ops.
Got it. So the strategy, so I understand this. So the strategy analyst, if you start there, typically the exit opportunities are for long-only funds and for more for portfolio allocation, not direct investing.
Yeah, that's correct.
Got it. Okay. So you wanted to stay, you wanted to be in a position where you actually were on the buy side. You had exit ops to the buy side where you were making actual long and short decisions, direct investments. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And
sorry.
And then I also declined the single stock research offer, but that's more of a realistic reason, because they only offer the internship the return offer for equity research division in Singapore.
In Singapore.
And with a very low pay back then.
Okay. And so you wanted to stay in Hong Kong.
And I got convinced by seniors not to take that actually.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. So that's how it goes.
Okay, great. So yeah, so continue. Tell me, continue your story. So what was next, and how did that progress? And then yeah, I'd love to hear more about the transitions when you understood it was time to leave and your next step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after declining the offers, I obviously need to find my graduate job, and very luckily, my cold calling and cold emailing finally works. one of my network who I'm very close with keep contacting me in the past 3 years when I'm looking for jobs, actually contacted me that for drinks. So we talk about that I'm looking for a job. So he said, oh, actually we are hiring. So why not you give a shot? So that's how I landed my first job.
Great. And so tell me about that position. What were you doing there? And specifically, you know, did you like it? What did you like about it? Mm-hmm. What didn't you like mm-hmm. about it?
Mm-hmm. So it's a sell-side research job in a, I would say, a more regional investment bank. But I still like it a lot mm-hmm. because it's actually highly reputable in equities research. It's basically an investment bank that specialize in equities research. That's how they find themselves.
Yep.
So I'm still glad to join the team. So I was covering small mid cap for 1.5 years and oil and gas for another half year before going to my current job. So it's actually kind of fun to cover small mid cap because you do not have sector focus. You won't get bored by your own sector. Instead, you are always finding new ideas. And sometimes you can look, visit some very creepy companies. So it's actually a very fun experience to keep on working on new ideas and finding some double baggers for clients.
Yeah,
so
for
sure. It's actually quite unusual research experience.
So you're looking at mid and small caps in Hong Kong, China oil and gas. You're kind of getting experience across a wide range of industries, which is fun. It's interesting. Yeah. So why leave? Why did you feel like there, you know, in this equity research role, do you feel like you still wanted to get buy side, it sounds like, eventually?
Mm-hmm.
And so was that the impetus? When did you start looking? How did you kind of make, you know, that next transition?
Mm-hmm. So at first, I'm taking advice from, say, some of the members on WSO that maybe I should take coverage first and then jump into buy side. But then I encounter a problem that the company itself is actually undergoing some corporate restructuring. So I feel, and also because of the MiFID II, I feel a bit insecure about my job or my career in sell side in medium term to long term.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I start job hunting in buy side, and luckily I find one and landed my current job.
And so it sounds like, you know, you were really good at these recruiting. Can you dive in a little bit more on specifically, you know, luckily you found a buy side job. It sounds, you make it sound easy. How did you kind of, what was that process like in Hong Kong? We don't have many guests that mm-hmm. are in Hong Kong, so I'd love to hear about how that typically goes. Was there a set time frame that the hedge funds typically recruit at, or the private equity funds? Mm-hmm. Were you looking at just hedge funds, I assume, in trading type roles?
Yep.
And I'd love to hear more info on that.
Well, I think it's kind of similar with what is happening in the US right now. So I think networking matters a lot for buy-side roles, and headhunters also matter a lot in terms of buy-side roles.
Mm-hmm.
So I landed my job through the introduction of a headhunter that I keep close contact with. And I think keeping close contact with some of the capable buy-side recruiters is actually very important in terms of finding a buy-side role in Hong Kong. So yeah, I think that's all.
Are there a set number of recruiters there that are well-known, or is it kind of more dispersed? Like, is there three or four that are really well-known and you have to be in touch with those, or are there like 50 and you just have to choose one, or how does that work?
Well, yeah, I think the headhunter landscape is basically like US. You can hear some headhunter firm like Robert Half, mm-hmm. etc. So, but there are also some independent headhunters who may be working in the huge headhunter firms for like 20 years and come out and set up their own company.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually like them more because they are more motivated. They actually serve juniors better.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you can imagine, the headhunters in large headhunter firms, they only look at commission.
Right.
So for senior positions, they got shared by shared with more commissions, right? So only by this kind of junior headhunters who just start their headhunter firm will actually pay more attention to yourself. So I actually got some bad experience. Like I contact with a headhunter in a big headhunter firm, mm-hmm. and I was actually contacted by the company that I'm going to be interviewed, that I'm actually having an interview, like the day.
Yeah.
So I was later found that the headhunter actually did not inform me about this round of interview.
Oh my gosh.
But it's kind of hard to imagine it comes from a reputable headhunting firm. So that's why I think finding a good headhunter is really important. And obviously networking is another very important element.
So this specific headhunter that eventually helped you get this role, was it something you had built a relationship beforehand, or is it something where when you were started looking, you felt like you had less job security in your sell side equity research role? So did you start reaching out proactively to headhunters, or you had already been in discussions with them?
Well, I think it first started with I actively looking for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So usually the headhunters will reply for my job application request. But then I'll also actively keep communicating with them. For mm-hmm. example, asking how is the job market looking like? Is there any new jobs? And also asking them to have a chat, et cetera, to build a better relationship than just cold calling.
Yeah.
So that's actually very important, because apart from the job seeking side, I actually got shared by a lot of the firm's background and also the culture, which allows me to pick which is the best fitted buy side that I can to myself.
Yeah.
For example, there could be reputable firms, but actually with a very hostile culture. Mm-hmm. There could be firms with huge AUM, but actually with a lot of risk barometers that you can actually not really trade or do a stock pitching, etc.
Yeah.
So actually, it's pretty rewarding to invest in building relationship with headhunters as well.
You felt like they had some inside knowledge of what the firms were specifically like, and they helped guide you once you built those relationships.
Yeah, that's correct.
And so how many headhunters do you think you actually met in person, and how many just was, you know, relationships over the phone? And were these all just in Hong Kong?
Yeah, most are in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And I think I met like 8 to 9 headhunters face-to-face.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
But over the phone, I think it's like 20.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
So you had a pretty good sense of the overall market on, you know, hedge funds in Hong Kong, mm-hmm. basically once you kind of were ready to start looking. So then tell me a little bit about why, how that process went. So how many interviews did you go through for your current firm? And then specifically, how was the interview, what was the interview process like?
For my current role, I actually spent half a year just for interviews.
Wow.
I got through 9 rounds of interviews. So it's still a hedge fund. So the team is pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
So they try to find the best fitted candidate. So they went through a lot of tests. For example, the first round is basically a face-to-face brief introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Starting from the second round is the technical round. They have a modeling test. It's a ASEAN company. So they basically make sure that it's not something you covered before. They ask you to do stock pitching, modeling, and presentation in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
So after like lots of questions in the third round, they will ask you to follow up with a fourth round interviews and give you some catalysts and ask you to qualify by models. So it's like another round of modeling test.
Said they'll ask you to quantify caplet. What did you say? Capless?
Catalyst. Yeah.
Oh, capitalist. So,
catalyst.
So, oh, catalyst. Example, oh, catalyst. Got it.
Event A is going to happen.
Yeah.
Event B is going to happen. So what is the stock valuation looking like if event A doesn't happen, but event B happens?
Were those catalysts more industry specific or more macro?
Very industry specific, I would say.
Okay, got it.
For
okay.
example, they ask like a taxation issue, exactly.
Got it. Okay, so yeah, so you get through the fourth round of interviews, then what happens?
Yep. Then for the rest of the rounds, it's interviewing with the other PMs. Mm-hmm. Our firm has four PMs, mm-hmm. and finally the CIO. So they make sure that I'm the right fit while they are actually considering more candidates. They actually pay a lot of attention on whether my personality fits in the team,
right?
Instead of just my technicals in the remaining five rounds. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. So it took a 6 month. It was a 6 month process. Do you have an idea of how many other candidates they looked at?
They told me they start from 30 candidates,
mm-hmm.
and more importantly, they consider both juniors and seniors. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I was told that they are considering another PM who has a 10-year trading track record already.
Mm-hmm. And you were up so against that person. Canada. Wow. So yeah, you were being considered for the senior PM role or a PM role, basically?
No, actually, I think it's more like their internal consideration. For example, budget mm-hmm. or whether they need a support analyst or just a new PM and whether they have coverage for that new PM.
Got
so
it.
I think at last they decided to hire a junior. And that's why they picked me from the junior pool.
Got it. Makes sense. Are you comfortable sharing a range of pay from your Goldman internship all the way up through what you have now? Are you comfortable sharing just a wide range to the listeners?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
For Goldman's role, it should be around. Around 80,000. Mm-hmm. US dollar per annum.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And for my current role is around 100 to 120,000 US dollar per annum.
That's
and
great.
The bonus is discretionary, depending on stock call, success rate, and also fund overall performance. So very typical hedge fund pay structure.
And in terms of like upside, how big could that bonus be?
Not sure.
Yeah. So, you don't know yet.
mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I wish I can know.
Yeah. Okay. And then specifically, your day to day, I'd love to just hear, are you enjoying it? What's next for you? Are you enjoying the role currently? Do you feel like you'll be there for a few years more?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I think I enjoy the role. I actually like, my life in buy side. I got a lot of interesting stories just to stay in buy side.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the team culture itself is good. I think it fits me a lot. It's also a stable platform. So I don't think I will switch role in, say, at least in the next 3 to 5 years.
And kind
of goes more.
And do you think there's a potential room for you to eventually become a PM there?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. And I guess that depends on performance, right? And how well you do.
Yeah.
Great, man. Well, this has been really interesting. I didn't, you know, I think you're our first guest where you work in the hedge fund buy side space in Hong Kong. So it's great to get you on the pod. Anything else you'd like to share with the guests before we call it? Or any advice to your younger self that you would have given?
Oh, yeah, sure. I think my advice would be always try to stay confident, because I understand that the job hunting or the internship hunting experience is always filled with failures. That's my experience as well. I got even worse experience than just failing an internship interview. For example, I got called to a trading floor and mocked by the traders for my blank CV, etc. So, but these kind of bad things will always happen. And you will always got rejected, and you got rejected to a point that you will certainly doubt whether you're as good as you think.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, if you stay confident, you will stay motivated, and you will keep doing more preparation and getting better. And that's the key point that you can land your next job and also to pursue what you want to pursue.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I think we'll leave it on that great note. Really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, Patrick at wallstreetoasis.com. And until next time.